a wonder to behold.
Okay. Some of this I've given in the past, but I have some extra material. So you may notice some things that are similar. So the reason I'm giving this sermon, and then we have these slides here, is this better if I'm here? Okay. As you know, we've gone through a lot of trials in our area with illness and the like. And I know I'm taking a chance. I had to write it down so I can remember. But I think, as I talked about last time, and I'll do again this time, we need to try to remember to keep our focus on the big picture and not get lost in the momentary problems that we are facing either individually or collectively, as a whole congregation. We know that the shamblings are suffering, so when one suffers, we all suffer. But I don't want us to get discouraged. I didn't check this with her, but if she's mad at me, she'll slap me when I see her today. We were talking the other day, and she was in a lot of pain and the like. And there's just sometimes when you just have to speak honestly, and I really appreciate that about Ward and Carolyn. They're really honest about her situation and what they're facing. Sometimes when you're going through, most of the time when you're going through a severe trial like that, your faith is tested. And I told her, I said, that doesn't mean you lack faith. It means your faith that you have is being tested. And what God is doing now is putting the finishing touches in your life, putting that most finishing touches of character that you're going to take with you for eternity. And I think it helped her, and I think it helped Ward as well. And I think that's something we need to keep in mind. You know, I don't have it here because I think it's Philippians 1. And verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Philippians 1, verse 3. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. You think they had people dying? You think they had people who were under severe stress? Yeah, stress. Yeah. But he prayed with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from first day until now. They've always were faithful with him, supporting him. Being confident, there's the key word here, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's really what I was trying to tell Mrs. Shamblin. He's finishing that finishing work. And it's difficult when we're going through a fiery trial to kind of keep some of the things we'll be talking about here today in focus. And again, I know I'm taking my life in my hands. In case I forgot somebody, forgive me. in the last several years, we've really had real examples of faith and courage and action. People who have faced this type of thing, you can remember Leo and Dinger, Daniel. Both of them did and continue, because Dinger's still with us. They went through a fiery trial with his illness, as you know. And yet through it all, and so did the others that I'll be mentioning to you, they all showed, I'll say Dinger and Leo, Ken and Doris Forson, and now Mr. and Mrs. Shamblin, and if I forgot somebody, forgive me. As far as these couples, as leaders in the church, they showed faith and grace in the midst of their fiery, fiery trial for all of us to learn from. They really have set us a good example. So there's so many things we can learn. And what I'm trying to help you to see today as we go through this is the big picture and not get lost in the moment that we're going through now. We don't want to get lost in that moment we're going through now. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8. I guess I need to move this every now and again so it won't go to sleep. Romans 8. And I'm going to start here in verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear when you received the Holy Spirit. But you receive the spirit of sonship, or adoption, but sonship's better, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So, we're looking here at this. We are the children of God. And the children of God, we're going to inherit all that is. All the physical universe and what's beyond that, we don't know. We want to keep that in mind. We'll talk here a little bit about not going to bondage and fear. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 7:1 real quick. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. From the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that perfection of holiness is achieved as we go through life's ups and downs. It isn't done in a vacuum. 2 Timothy. Oh, I knew I'd forget. I even wrote their name down. I forgot. Mr. and Mrs. Gaiman was another. Let me write it down here. Mr. and Mrs. Gaiman. Another outstanding examples of faith and courage in the face of their fiery trial. Sorry about that, Luann. I knew I would forget if I didn't write it all down. Just, we've had some real solid examples of people who go through the most fiery of trials as a couple. And they've set us all a good example. So, okay. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. The word there better is timidity. But we're timid. I'm trying to show you don't have to be timid about what we're facing here. And I can honestly say that Ward and Carolyn, they're very open about her situation. They talk openly with each other. The family does. That's a healthy thing to do instead of not really come to terms with what her situation is facing, what she's facing there. Obviously, there's sadness and difficulties here, but they're facing it in faith and not fear, nor timidity. That's a better word there, timidity. Where we say, we are the children of God. We've been offered, we'll be showing you some of the things we're being, what God is offering us, what God has promised to us. And in those promises, we face today with confidence. Okay? We face today with confidence, not depressed and down forever. Do we get up and down? Sure. Do we get depressed from time to time? Of course. Nobody. Who doesn't? But what gets us through those things is we remember what God has promised us, the main future that's waiting for us. Anyway, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, verse 7, or timidity, but power and of love and of a sound mind. Even one of the nurses there at the hospital said, you have really been an inspiration to me, told this to her, to Carolyn, because she can see the love that Carolyn has for people. Not just your family, but others that come in. There's all these people coming in. And it's the nurse has seen it. The nurse has seen it. All right, let's go to Hebrews 2. Is it okay if I take my jacket off? Will you fire me if I do that? It's so hard being me. Okay. What did I say? Hebrews 2. And I'm going to start in verse 14. Inasmuch then, as children have partaken of the flesh and blood, human beings are this nature that we have, flesh and blood nature, he, meaning Christ, himself likewise shared in the same. So he became flesh and dwelt among us, says in John 1:14. Him who had the power of death, that is, let me read the whole thing because I interrupt myself. Inasmuch then as Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him, or make idle and make useless him, referring to Satan, who is the power of death, that is the devil. Now, this part we will look at. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And everybody, not just the Hebrews here, but everybody, before they were called, were subject to death and lived their life really in that dreadness. Even though they may not have been aware of it, deep down people know, I'm not living right. And boy, if there's a God, I'm going to have to pay a price. This kind of thing. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. And that's who we are, the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, became flesh and blood and dwelt among us, that he might be the merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, in making propitiation, that sacrifice, for the sins of the people. Okay? So, again, we are the sons of God. We are begotten into his family, and we're waiting to be born into that family when Jesus Christ returns. What does this portend for us? Let's go to Colossians 1. In the midst of what we're going through, Colossians 1 and verse 16. For by him, referring to Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. All things were created through him and for him. And yet, we've read already, we're going to be heirs and joint heirs inheriting what he inherits. Again. Now, let's take a look. We've read already, but I'm going to read again because we're going to start with the slides here. Romans 8, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit itself, better put, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And again, the word heir really is interesting in the Greek. It means to get by appointment. We're going to be by appointment. God has given us an appointed time where we're going to inherit or receive a portion, if you will, of what Christ is going to inherit. We're going to be fellow heirs, in other words. Now, here's what the contemporary English version reads, what I just read to you. This is from the contemporary English version. For I am sure that what we are suffering now cannot compare with the glory that will be shown to us. His spirit lets us know that together with Christ, we will be given what God has promised. We will also share in the glory of Christ because we have suffered with him. All right, so let's move on down to the next slide here. It says, the heavens tell the glory of God, Psalms 19:1. And you've seen some of these slides, but I wrote down some things. I was watching one of these programs on Netflix about science and all this stuff. See if you can grasp some of this stuff. Galaxies. Well, this is one galaxy here. Let's go to Psalms 19:1 as we think about galaxies. Psalms 19. We can get lost in the minutiae of our problems today, or we can keep our vision for what is waiting for us as heirs and co-heirs with Christ. Okay, Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. I wish that was in more color like the one I got here. But anyway. And the firmament, or the heavens, show his handiwork. Now, let me just give you an example. They figure galaxies, there are 100 billion galaxies. That's what the latest number. 100 billion galaxies. Okay? And there are over 100 billion stars in each galaxy. And God has a name for every one of them. He's named every one of them. because the sons and daughters that are in his family are going to inherit everything. Christ made everything, and he's named them. It's all there. It's waiting for us. It's like the heavens are like a pregnant woman. We'll see that later in travail. She wants the sons of God to be revealed because the heavens are subject to futility or corruption. And when you... There's a really good program. I didn't write it down, but it's on Netflix. I think How the Universe Works. I'm sure not all of it's true, but... They've learned an awful lot of stuff. And sometimes they say, well, we thought this, but now it's this. But what they're really showing you, however all the details are, we don't know for sure. But they show that the creation is subject to corruption or futility, to breaking down and starting over, and so forth. We'll get into that a little bit. All right. They estimate, for example, that the sun... Our sun is about 4.6 billion years old, give or take a couple hundred thousand, who knows. Okay. Our sun is 93 million miles away. The light that we see now was created 8 minutes ago. So the light we're seeing now, don't you turn off. Okay. The light we're seeing now is 8 minutes old. Okay. Our sun is a very small sun, but it could house 1 million Earths. You could take 1 million Earths and place it in the sun. That's how big it is compared to how small. And ours is just a small star. Now, the sun is a star. So if you were standing on some other distant galaxy and you had a strong enough telescope, you probably could see our little bitty sun. Our sun is about 1 million miles in diameter, yet it's tiny compared to, and I'll try to do my best I can on some of these names. There's another sun, 8 Carinae it's called, 8 Carinae. The light we're seeing from it, when you go out tonight and you find it, it'll go, there's 8 Carinae. Okay. The light that you see there, it was generated 8,000 years ago. It took 8,000 years for it to get here. Light travels, I had to write all this stuff down. Light travels at 670 million miles an hour. Okay, that's just a little bit faster than a speed zone. So 670 miles an hour, how do you understand that? Light would travel around the Earth 7 times in 1 second. That's that. Or I think it's about 186,000 point some odd, we'll round it off, 186,000 miles per second is what light travels. And yet it took 8,000, did I get that right? Yeah, 8,000 years for the light that we will see from that tonight to get here. So you try to think about it. And this star is 5 million times larger than our sun. It's 5 million times larger than our sun. And you can put 1 million Earths in our sun. So you can put millions of our suns in that sun. All right? Now, I kind of give you just a little bit of this. Think, well, now, what were our problems? Because you see, all that's waiting for us. And these suns, there's this cycle constantly happening of new stars being born, old stars being destroyed, and new stars being born, old stars being destroyed. That's the futility that Paul spoke about. Not in the terms we understand today, but all of this creation is subject to corruption until the sons of God are revealed. And it says all creation is waiting, like that woman trying to give birth, for the sons of God to be revealed. And when I have my own kingdom, they will not be screensavers on computers. But we'll make sure miracles will happen. Mr. Abbott will have his own huge, massive computer. Okay. So that one star, 8,000 years ago, the light that we'll see tonight originated 8,000 years ago. Think about this. There are some light sources that the light we're now seeing is finally reaching us has been on its way for millions of years. At 186,000 miles a second, it's been coming for millions of years. The ultimate source of that light may not even exist anymore. See, it's gone. But the light that it produced when the star went supernova or whatever happened, that it's gone. The source of light is gone. So it's dark here, but the light's been traveling all this time. And eventually, you would start, if you could stay on the earth, live long enough, several hundred million years, the light of the sky would get less and less and less as the stars would be born and die, and the light would finally reach us, and then it would play out because there would be no more light source. Okay? Yeah, just trying to get you to understand. These things are preaching to us. Where God says, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's a little Greek there. I'm sure Andy's listening, so he'll help me out with the Greek on that. Ain't seen nothing yet. Okay. Now, the next larger sun or star that we know about anyway, I love this one. It's called Betelgeuse. Now, why they selected that name for some movie with somebody named Betelgeuse, I guess. The light from that star started out 500 years ago. And that, the light that we would see from that star tonight originated right about the time Christopher Columbus found North America is what it amounts to. Okay? Now that is 300 times larger than the other sun I just told you about. So that's 300 times larger than the other one, and the other one is 5 million times larger than our sun. So here's our sun's like a speck of salt. And then this brittle juice, or what did I just call it? Betelgeuse. Oh, that wasn't right. It's probably like the state of Texas. And then our sun is like a piece of salt. Okay? And again, just to show you it's amazing what's going on. Our sun, which is a tiny sun, burns up 600 million tons of hydrogen every second. Now, eventually, in about 300 million years, so worry about it, it will burn out and we'll all be killed. Okay. So, now, when the new heavens and new earth come, God will stop this death and birth cycle in the universe. But until then, he says, look out there and learn. They say, well, the gravity and heat, and when gravity gets together and it starts drawing these gases together, it produces heat, and all that's true. And he says, then you can always trust the laws of physics. And that's, as far as we know, you can, unless there's other laws of physics somewhere else we don't know about. But anyway, the point is, God created these laws, and they work every time. Aren't you glad when you get on an airplane? You know, the laws of physics work every time, of aerodynamics, except on February 29th. There is no February 29th. Is there? 30th. There, now I'm safe. Okay, except for, because there's a leap year. That's right. So anyway, I'm just trying to show you these things. This is the one star I just told you about, that whatever it is, Betelgeuse. So far is the biggest star they've ever found out there. So, Psalms 19, let's go back and read it again. The heavens declare the glory of God. Wow. And we're just now beginning to understand. It really wasn't until 2005 that we saw the first original light that for the first time we saw it as human beings, of a supernova. Now, it was millions of years old. The light took that long to get to us, but we finally saw it with our instrumentation. And it's the brightest, as far as we know, the brightest light source in the universe. But it only lasts a millisecond. When a star collapses on itself and it destroys itself, and so forth. I'm just trying to give you all this. This is God who's designed all this. And he says, you guys are going to inherit all that. You're suffering now, but don't worry about it. I will finish the work I've begun in you, character first. You know, bring us to repentance, developing his character in us through the difficulties and the good and the bad and the up and down of life. I will prepare you for that. But you're going to inherit everything with my son, Jesus Christ. Keep that focus, is what he's saying to us. All right, let's go to the next slide. The skies display His marvelous craftsmanship, as it says in this one translation. We've read that. And look at that. The different colors show different temperatures. Different temperatures are determined by the age, or I should say, colors are determined by the age of the light. Red shows a very distant and very, very old source. And then you have these various other colors that are out there. These are gases and things, and all these laws of physics work. And you see up here, you can see the light, brighter spot, because that's galaxy within galaxy with light within stars. And there's so much light, it's shining up on the gas that's in this part of the universe here. It's just a constant process that's going on all the time, birth and death of these things. And yet, just this morning, it says, thinking about the sermon, my eye got caught on an article. I haven't read it yet. But for the first time, they think Venus, which is right next to the sun in our solar system, may harbor water, of all things. How they know that, who knows? You think it'd all be boiled off, but who knows? They find out stuff all the time. Let's go to the next one. Okay, that's that one. Day after day, they continually speak. Night after night, they make Him known. See, this is part of our galaxy here. And you'll see here, is that Saturn or Jupiter? The big one. I never do remember. It's Jupiter. I think it's right down here. See it down there? I think that's 1995. There was a huge impact on huge chunks of planet. And this thing is so huge that it just actually pulled them apart. And so there were multiple impact sites. And all those sites are bigger than the Earth. And it was at that point, as late as 1995, that finally they began to say, well, maybe there are impacts that could hit the Earth and other places. They really didn't believe it could be, at least not real probable. And they're trying to figure out that it seems to be not a solid planet, but more gas. But it's so big, it's so massive, it's spinning, it's holding all those gases in there that even produces its own gravity. Whew. I'm pretty sure. And God said, kid stuff. No big deal. You'll learn this first day after becoming a God member of the family, a member of the family of God. This is kid stuff, guys. And our minds are boggled about all these different things. All right, let's go to the next one. They speak without sound or word. Their voice is silent in the skies. But boy, what a sermon they give, huh? Again, the light you're seeing here in the background, multiple stars, huge systems, and they're producing light, which means there's lots of heat and so forth going on. And it's lighting up the gases for millions of years, light years out. Millions of light. Remember, light travels 186,000 miles a second. And these things go out for millions of light years. And who knows? The source of the light may not even exist anymore. And I can't even figure out how to put a mic on yet. So.
Okay. All right,
let's take a look here at Hebrews 2 now. Let's go to Hebrews 2. Remember, Paul talked about our light affliction. We've talked about that before. He's not making fun of our suffering because our suffering is very real. But in comparison, it's light affliction compared to eternity. Compared to eternity. That's what Mr. and Mrs. Shamlin know that, but we all need to be reminded of it, especially when in the midst of these trials. And she said, oh, yeah, I know those, and that's right. And she didn't argue with it at all. Hebrews 2. Verse 1, therefore, Hebrews 2, verse 1, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us who heard it? So, again, what we're talking about is very, very important. And I don't want you to get lost in this time of trial that we're facing. See? Now, verse 5. For he has not subjected the world to come, we call it the kingdom of God, of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testifies in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. Their spirit, we're not. We're physical. Christ was made a little lower than the angels for a time. And then he's, remember, back in the family of God now. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You set over him the works of your hands. You put all things in subjection under his feet. And you say, what? He's quoting Psalms 8, verse 6. Is all this under subjection to us now? No. So what is he talking about? It's a prophecy. This is a prophecy what's coming. Let's look at the next verse. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, see, everything's going to be under Christ, and we will be under Christ. He's the King of Kings, but we will rule with him as joint heirs. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. What we just read to you was a prophecy. It's as much of a prophecy about the beast power or whatever else. Maybe it's not as flashy, but it's a prophecy. Everything's going to be subject to us. What do we see now then? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, just like we are his human beings. For the suffering of death, for Christ suffered death for us, with glory and honor, that's what we see now, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. That's why we don't walk in that fear. Yeah, we have difficulties, we have our doubts, we have our struggles, but we keep the big picture in mind. And somehow the big picture for me, when I watch these kind of movies, I know I'm hearing the evolution stuff, and I just blow that by. But I look at what's going on there, and you study, there's a God who made all this. And it's just awe-inspiring. It really is. Let's go to Psalms 8. I'm getting there. We've read this already, but not in its totality. Psalms 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, and there's just a little piece of it right there, the works of your fingers. We've been showing you some of the works of his fingers. The moon and the stars. And we said, as far as we know, and I dare say we'll probably find out there's a whole lot more, there are 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion stars. That's the latest guess. Okay? When we consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, he's set them aside. They have a purpose for their being created. Whew! When I sit there and I look up there and I look at all that stuff, he didn't have telescope and all that. He just looked up there and he could see this. He had this thought, what is man that you're mindful of him and the sons of man that you visit him? Why do you even consider us? We're nothing. You know, from in comparison. For you made him, here's that quote again, a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. Well, we haven't seen that yet. Glory and honor comes at the resurrection. And everything in this life prepares us for that moment when Christ comes back and we who are alive and remain will be caught up in the air. But those who, we will not prevent those who are asleep. They'll be caught up in the air. We'll meet him in the air. We'll put on this mortal must put on immortality. See all these verses from Thessalonians and Corinthians and so forth. Verse 6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. We saw that in the Garden of Eden. God wanted that, have dominion over the fish of the sea. But we know they sinned. But that plan is still in place. And I can hardly wait when they'll sit down with us and God will... Christ and say, here's what I want done here. Remember, it's all created by him, through him, and for him. And we'll all glorify the Father. eyes not seen nor ear heard, the things that God has planned. Again, we're facing difficulties privately as a congregation as well. But don't they kind of shrink when you think about this? I hope they do. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. When I look up and watch an eclipse of the moon, that kind of thing, you just start praying. I do. You're like, wow, this is just amazing. And you just thank God for His creation, and that you just have an awareness that's wonderful. But anyway, look, here's what he says. Verse 14, Philippians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. There's a family, God the Father, Jesus Christ in heaven, and where the rest of the family is being developed down here on earth. We are the children of God. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, verse 16, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit, the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, wow, billions of light years. The universe is constantly, just from a physical perspective, the length and the width, it's continually getting bigger. It's expanding at the same speed in all directions at the same time. Now that's just from the physical, but this is the spiritual as well. With all the saints, what is the width, the length, the depth, the height of what God's plan is, His love for us, His commitment to us, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That power that created the universe and set it in motion is working in your mind, if we let it. See? These are the things that God wants us to know. And interesting, the word family is from the Greek word, and corresponding word would be 3965. It means the whole race or the lineage. We're from the lineage of the family of God. 1 John 3. Real quickly here. 1 John. You can see why it's the people that I've mentioned, and again, if I forgot anybody, there are, of course, others who have passed away as well. But these that I've mentioned, they believe these things. It sounds like Hebrews 11, doesn't it? And they died not receiving the promise, but were convinced ahead of time. And we'll go there in a little bit. And in the middle of their fiery trial, those promises, through the Holy Spirit, gave them strength and commitment and dignity in those difficult hours leading up to their passing. 1 John 3, because you see, this knowledge helps us to grasp the future, and I think it helps to stir the Spirit of God, even when we're physically going down. Ephesians 3, I think I've already read some of this to you, verse 14. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong one. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And just through these pictures, I hope you can see a little bit of that. This is what's waiting for us, and a whole lot more. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that we shall what we shall be. We haven't yet seen that in ourselves. But we will know that. Okay, but we know that when He is revealed, the second coming of Christ, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And no man can look on God and live. So it's not just that we're going to see Him in His glory, because we'll share that same glory. We're going to inherit everything with Him, co-heirs and heirs with Christ. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And this hope strengthens us. And again, the context of this book was to counter Gnostic teaching that says you can't possibly be converted. You can't have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in your mind because spirit is good and flesh is evil. And he says, no, you are the children of God. You've been begotten of God's Spirit. Don't let anybody take that away from you. That's the love of God working in you and so forth. This is the whole point here. But we're called the children of God. Chapter 4 of the same book. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. We said that's one standard to judge by. But if somebody doesn't confess that, you don't need to check any further. If they do confess that, then you still need to check some other criteria. But that's the first one. But every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which is which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children. And have overcome them because He who is in you, Christ in us through the Holy Spirit, is greater than he who is in the world. Ephesians 2, 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this world, the Son who works in the sons of disobedience, as it says in Ephesians, well, the Holy Spirit, Christ in us through the Holy Spirit, is greater than that. He says, you are the children of God. So, again, look at these points here. Matthew 5:5. Now, in a way, we look at all this out here, all that's out there in the potential of the universe. Because I really would like to... I'm sure it's not going to be like Doctor Who, who's in his phone booth and travels through time. I don't want to write in a phone booth. I'm sure we'll just have the speed of thought, or however that works. Phone booths are just not cool. Anyway... But I would like to get in my whatever it is, or we just have the speed of thought. And I would, I just for me in my little puny state now, I say to Christ, is it kind of possible for me not to kill my computer, which I did? I would ask, is it kind of possible for me to kind of get in a time machine and go back and watch creation? I'd like to do that. Of course, maybe by then I'd say, it's child's play, I don't care, I already know all about it. But the puny little guy I am now, I'd like to know that. See? But, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, that's the teachable, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, is that all? I mean, the earth is so tiny, you take a million earths and put them in our sun. But our sun is so tiny, you can put millions of them on these other suns. And all you're going to offer me is the earth? Well, this is where the center is going to be of God's government. But everything will radiate out from there. It's amazing. But we're going to inherit this earth, but everything else too. All that. And whatever all it's going to look like when it's all said and done. Isaiah 11. I hope you can look back and say, you know, in perspective... Everything we're going through, compared to what our future is, the suffering is a small matter. Not that the suffering is diminished. It's not that it's not important, but in comparison. Isaiah 11, verse 3. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with the righteousness, this is Christ, and we with him, he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The kingdom of God will be established and placed upon the earth. It starts here. We inherit the earth. But it all goes out, and as God's government is restored on earth, it ultimately reaches out. And what else has He got planned? Wow. And you know, won't that be exciting when we see Leo and we see all the others who passed on with it before us, and they're in the resurrection, and we're at this big wedding supper? How do you imagine all this stuff? But you wonder, man, we've got. whole future ahead of us. I have never felt this good. I don't have an acre of pain. I feel like I can live forever, because you will. I mean, imagine your mind is going to be going all kinds of different places, and then, I don't know, maybe there'll be a certain kind of a toast that'll take place, and Christ will be there, and He's going to say, welcome. And we're going to have a real nice dinner. I want you to fellowship with each other, renew your relationships, and oh, by the way, there's Abraham, and there's Moses, the guys you read about, and I want you to get to know these guys. And then we're going to get to work. So we'll see all these people and many others we don't know anything about, except through the writings of the Scripture, and many others we don't know anything about them. They lived and died over the ages, but they'll come up and be in that at that dinner with us. And all of them looking forward now. Okay, now we've had this wonderful dinner. We're spirit beings in the family of God. What do you want us to do now? Okay, now the first thing, we've got to bring peace to the earth. We start there, and it just gets bigger and better and bigger and better all the time because of all these different things. Romans 4:13. This is speaking about Abraham. See, Abraham's going to be in that first resurrection. Romans 4:13, for the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through law, can't earn your salvation, but through the righteousness of faith. He believed what God said. Same thing for us. But the point of saying here is he's going to inherit the world. That's the point we talk about here today. Not law and grace. We've talked about that many times. But contingent on his faith and his obedience to God, yes, he's going to inherit the world. Okay? See if I can find it in Hebrews 11. I don't have it written down, so let's see. Let's take a look here at Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. All of you know that. Now, before we get anywhere to individuals, I want to just see, again, I'm just trying to find this. Okay. Let's start in verse 39. We'll talk to more details in just a minute. 11:39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. And we can put in brackets, yet. God, having provided something better for us, that they, who gone on before us and now in their grave, should not be made perfect, become spirit, come out of those graves, become spirit beings with perfect character, should not be perfect apart from us. He has a plan. But that plan, that part of it, won't take place until everybody that He's called and has produced the character and ready to be put into the family of God. He has to have everybody ready at the same time. But let's back up now. They've not received it. They've waited for all of it. It's all going to be done at one time. Let's see how long this plan has been working. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel. Boy, that goes right back to the beginning. Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, that through it he, being dead, still speaks. You know, we just spoke about him. His witness of faith. He's going to be in that resurrection. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he could not see death. Okay, so here's another one. We'll just kind of move down here. Noah, verse 7. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. Yet he lived his whole life wandering around in that land, and he never received it from that perspective. Didn't do that. And we can go down here. Sarah, verse 11. You see her here. Verse 13. All these died in faith, not having received the promises. Didn't God keep His word? Yeah. He's preparing them. But the final promise, the fulfillment of those promises won't be until everybody that He's called has been called and proven whether they'll be loyal to that. But having seen them afar off, we're assured of them. Abel, Isaac, you name it. All of these different people we've been reading about, and many others. They saw the promises afar off, it says, were assured, that means they had faith, of them, embraced them, let it change the way they lived their lives, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We've talked about several sermons lately how the United States and the world around us is changing so much. And hopefully you feel more and more alien to this culture because it is not ours. And it will just continue to degenerate and degenerate and degenerate, and you feel more and more alien. I hope you do. That's good. Because this isn't our world. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Oh, yeah, I'm over here in whatever country, and oh, yeah, I'm going to go back to my original land. No, that's not what it is. But now they desire a better country, that is a spiritual, heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. Then he talks more about Abraham, and he's Moses, and these others. These people believed in the kingdom of God coming. And they lived their lives in faith and obedience, and they died. Had God broken their promise, his promise? Nope. Not at all. But there's a time and there's a place for it. Now let's move on to the next slides. The oath. There it is. Psalms 19:4. Their message has gone out to the earth, all the word, and their words to all the earth. Again, go to the next one. Trying to make mine behave. What am I doing wrong here? Okay. Well, I messed up my screen. Okay. A galaxy or nebula. This is called a kind of like the birthing chamber for new stars, where gases and forces and gravitational forces and the like, is best they understand, as gases and the like are drawn by gravity and condense. As they condense, atoms are colliding, and molecules are colliding, and as they do, those protons and so forth are speeding up. When they speed up, they create heat. When they create heat, they create light. So you see a lot of that. And as it gets denser and denser and denser, and finally it gets so hot that they begin to fuse and so forth. Galaxies and nebulae is a large-scale system of stars, interstellar gas, dust, and plasma within the universe. The average galaxy contains more than 100 billion solar masses. We've talked about that. And ranges in diameter from 1,500 to 300,000 light years. So the small one is only 1,500 light years. So take 1,500 years for light to go from one end to the other at 186,000 miles a second. It still take 1,500 years. Or the big ones, it takes 300,000 years for that to happen. Those are big neighborhoods. 90% of which is actually composed of largely unknown substances called dark matter. What is dark matter? They don't really know. The latest theory in this, all this is what it is. They think it kind of holds everything together. And yet, the way it's holding it together is it's pushing it apart. Explain that one. There seems to be energy that is at another level that is pushing things away, but at the same token, holding it together. Kid stuff. Someday that'll be kid stuff to us. But right now, we don't know what we're doing. All right, let's go to the next one. Now, this was an experiment done just a few years ago. They thought this section of space had nothing in it. And what you're seeing here are thousands of galaxies. And up to just a few years ago, they thought it was an empty black space. They did an experiment. Somehow, they had some kind of slow developing, I'm going to call it film. I don't know all the terms. And they just opened the lens, if you will, and let it sit there and expose for hours. And they were stunned when they saw this. Thousands of galaxies, they thought. But they're so far away, you can't see it. Except through these special lenses and then the very sensitive my term, film, that can pick up this kind of light over this period of time. These are galaxies, not just stars, but hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of stars within each one of these groups and in planets, whatever inside there. And they all have names, and God says, oh yeah, let's see, we're going to put miles on this one right here. And we'll all be over here. So, I haven't picked on miles yet. Okay. All right, let's go to the next one. I just love doing that. Located within the same tiny region of space, these numerous galaxies displayed an assortment of unique characteristics. Some big, some small. If you're relatively nearby, just a few thousand light years. But most are far away. Hundreds of these faint galaxies have never been seen before. Okay? Now this is what is a huge star that destroyed itself. They finally just it uses up all the hydrogen and stuff, and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller until finally it has a massive explosion, and what it leaves is a very, very, very dense core. A piece of salt, it's so dense, if you were to put it on that, it would have the weight. If you took that salt that has the same density of that core and put it on the Earth, it would go right through the planet, a piece of salt. A violent, chaotic-looking mass of gas and dust is seen. This is the creation subject to futility, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. It's a process that goes on and on and on. It creates gold and silver and all these different metals. Anyway, gas and dust has been seen in the image of a nearby supernova. That's when it just explodes. You see in here are the remains of massive stars that explode. You say here, some of the new stuff. They were hearing things through satellites. They didn't know what it was. It sounded like static. They found out that these things produce radio waves, different frequencies. That's amazing. It's not, you know, if you believe in evolution, you think, oh, evolution right there. But you believe in God, you say, wow, I just went to church today. That's how I feel when I watch these movies. It's just so inspiring. And what were our problems? Seeing comparison. In comparison, and God says, okay, this is all just temporary, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Let's go to the next one. This is the Eagle Nebula. I guess it can also be called the Pillars of Creation. It's a stellar nursery. It's producing new stars inside there, these gases. It generally creates a billowing tower, and clouds and gas and dust that is 9.5 light years high. So you take from the bottom to the top, moving at 186,000 miles a second, it would take 9.5 years for that light to go. That's how big it is. And inside there, the gases are condensing and making new stars. Okay? There it is. Romans 8:19. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who is His children really are. Now, that's one translation. Let's read it from King James, Romans 8:19. I've been referring to it all through here. All that we've been seeing, not only the lit width and the depth and the powers and the gravity and the heat and all that stuff, that's impressive, I think. But also, it confirms what we see here. Romans 8, I think it's verse 19. Did I get it right here? Da-da-da-da. All right. Let's just start in verse 18, though. For I consider that the suffering, we've mentioned that, haven't we, of this present time are not worthy to be compared. It's a comparison with the glory which shall be revealed in us and also to us and through us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility. It blows up. Condenses, starts over eons and eons and eons of time. It was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We just saw that corruption, if you want to call it, that degeneration is starting over, boom, and it starts over, condensing in time frames that are just incomprehensible to us. Now, what can we learn Remember, we can learn about the Godhead through learning about creation. When you think about, let's say it takes 100 million years for a star to form, whatever. What does that teach me about God? It teaches me, okay, eternity in 100 million years, 100 million years is nothing. Eternity, to God, 1,000 years is a day. See, so God is immortal. Time is irrelevant. But to us, we're so impressed. See? All right. So anyway, let's go on to the next one. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Okay? All creation anticipates the day, this is the New Living Translation, when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Okay? For we know that all creation has been groaning as the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And it really is, isn't it? I think that's Mars there. Isn't that beautiful? Not Mars. I guess it is too, but... All right, let's move on to the next one. Daniel 12:3. Think about it. What we see in Daniel 12:3 is that's a beautiful thing, and you can stick your name on. It's as if all of God's people are in this galaxy. This all this light is being produced. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. This is written thousands of years ago, and those who may turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So he uses that metaphor, doesn't he? Just like the stars are bright and show the glories and wonders of God, that's what we're going to be doing, and bringing others to the truth of God. And that's why in the comparison of what we're going through now individually and collectively, it's nothing compared to what's coming in the future. Like I said, we're going to be with Leo, we're going to be with all these others that have passed on that we know by name or maybe we don't know. And we're going to share eternity with them. Say, wow. You remember back in the old day when we lived in the old world? Yeah, kind of. You remember that? Yeah, I mean I do. But boy, in comparison, it's nothing. I wouldn't trade one second of that old time in the old earth for what it trained us for and developed us for now. All right, let's go to the next. I love that little effect. Okay. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Okay. Heirs and joint heirs of God. That's the point we want to help you walk away with here today. The bright, bright future that's there for us. All right. I love that shot. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption or decay into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We've read that, but just want to hit it again. Alrighty? Well, as we know, the best is yet to come. Okay. We'll conclude services here and then have another congregational hymn and a closing prayer.